It's my man. All right, it's that point on a Wednesday, a Champs Wednesday here on Black Sports ESPN 1430. We talked to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Christopher, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Is that what y'all were discussing last segment?
Well, yeah, you can chime in on that, Juice. Go ahead, give me your assessment.
I feel you on the whole Red Sox thing, because if she was a West Virginia fan,
you know what?
I don't think she'd be welcome in my home.
You guys
either.
Are both phonies, okay? She could show up in a West Virginia cheerleader's outfit, and you'd let her in the house, okay?
Maybe.
Yeah, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us right here on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Christopher, we got a lot of things to talk about. We got to talk a little bit about the Hokies at the Combine, but I want to talk to you about, and you got to fill me in. You got to give me a lesson, a history lesson. Because there was talk a couple of years back about Tennessee and the Hokies playing at Bristol for like $20 million apiece. Tell me what happened. Tell me what fell through. Fill me in on this.
You know, I don't think the owner of the Bristol track ever actually talked to Jim Weaver or the Tennessee athletic director.
He did.
You know, who knows really, but I know that if he actually made a $20 million offer to each school, they would say, fax me the contract, I'll sign it right now, you know. I think, you know, that's something that seems to come up every year, or at least every other year, right around the time of the Bristol race. And it just seems to be, you know, for building publicity for the track. So you're never going to see that happen, I don't think. I mean, for $20 million, I mean, come on.
$20 million would be about $6 or $7 million more than what the BCS title winner gets.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's a ridiculous sum. I mean, I know that track seats 160,000, 170,000 people. I've been there. I think it would be amazing to play a football game in there, but I just don't see that happening. I mean, how could you have two payouts of $40 million, of a total of $40 million, and still make money off that game? I mean, I know it'd be, you know, pretty cool to play a game in a NASCAR track, fill it up, you know, with 170,000 fans, biggest crowd to ever see a college football game or whatever. Still, man, you're talking about payouts of a total of $40 million plus, you know, whatever money you spend hyping the game. I mean, that's a lot to ask. I don't ever see that happening.
I don't see it happening, and you may be right as far as what it would cost to actually have the game, paying those two schools $20 million. But based on television rights, based on advertising, sponsorship, he'd find a way to make a good amount of money back. He'd find a way to get that money back. But along those same lines, tell me why the Volunteers and the Hokies can't play.
You got me, man. I think it'd be a great regional rivalry. I think I'm not sure why Tennessee, you know, wants to go out and play Cal. And teams like that, you know, I mean, they went out to California this past year and got smashed.
Got stomped.
As far as why Virginia Tech and Tennessee don't play, I don't know. You'd have to ask Jim Weaver that. I don't know if they've had any contacts about playing or not. I agree. It'd be a great regional rivalry. The states border each other. You know, Virginia Tech's not that far from the state of Tennessee. You know, I think it's two rabid fan bases and you know, anytime the Hokies play an SEC team, obviously Virginia Tech fans are always interested. But, you know, it's kind of strange. You see some of the games that get scheduled. You know, Ohio State's on Virginia Tech's future schedule. We've played LSU before. You know, you never hear Tennessee mentioned unless Bristol Motor Speedway is involved.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us right here on ESPN 1430 NLN Martez Show. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. Christopher, let's talk a little bit about the NFL Combine taking place this weekend. Actually, today, players will go in for their physicals, and on Friday, they'll be getting the skill testing. 300 invited NFL prospective players coming in, including 11 Virginia Tech Hokies. That's the second most behind the USC Trojans, who have 13 players going in there. You've got guys like Barry Booker, Xavier Deeby, Dwayne Brown, Vince Hall, Brandon Flowers, Chris Ellis, Justin Harper, Eddie Royal, Carlton Powell, Josh Morgan, DJ Parker, just to name a few of those guys. Actually, I think I might have actually named all of the guys. But with those guys going there, news out of Indy, an idea that maybe Brandon Flowers is better than what we've been giving him credit for. Maybe not you and I, but the nation. Because I read something by Mike Mayock, NFL Network, who has stated that he has Brandon Flowers being the number one cornerback coming into the 2008 NFL draft.
If there's a better cornerback in the country with a better skill set than Brandon Flowers, I want to see it. You know, the only thing that's going to hold Brandon Flowers back is his 40-yard dash speed. I don't think he was ever better than a 4.48 guy at Virginia Tech. Now, if he can go up to the combine and somehow run a sub 4.5 in the 40, then I think he's a definite first-round pick, because when you look at the film, his technique and fundamental, they're going to blow everybody else away. You know, in this draft. I mean, I've been watching Virginia Tech football for a long time. Virginia Tech has had a lot of outstanding cornerbacks, put a lot of them in the NFL, and he's easily the best I've ever seen as far as instincts, technique. I mean, he's just a natural football player, but that 40-yard dash time is something that could, you know, knock him back to the second round. But, you know, as far as pure football talent, he's an easy first-round pick.
You know, a lot of weight is put into that 40 time, and obviously the combine does what it does, and it certainly serves a purpose for some players who need to showcase themselves to the NFL and to the executives and management and coaches and scouts. But when it comes to, for me, when it comes to a player going from point A to point B on a football field, that's what I want to know about. And you know what? Sometimes it's not a matter of a player lining up and having someone say, go, and run that 40. Sometimes it's a matter of smelling a play out, knowing that, being able to know where I've got to go from point A to point B, and knowing where the football is. You don't get that in a 40 time.
You're exactly right. I agree 100%. You know, you can only You can use those things to a certain extent, but you got to fall back on your film and who they played in college and things like that. I think, you know, even if speed, you know, was a major question mark for you, I think some guys are better fit for certain systems. Obviously, I think a team that Brandon Flowers could really fit in well with is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they play that Tampa 2 defense, which is a cover 2, doesn't rely as much on pure speed from the cornerbacks. You've always got your safeties back and help. I think it could thrive in a defense like that. Plus, you know, he's from South Florida. You know, I think that'd be a great fit for him down there.
That would be a nice fit for him. And you mentioned that defense and what that defense also does for the cornerbacks. And Rondé Barber is actually part of that defensive secondary. It allows him to use his best skills, and that is run support, where he sniffs out stuff. I've seen Brandon take on tight ends, big wide receivers, and brush them off and make plays. We still remember that hit he had on Drew Weatherford, where he laid out Weatherford here, laid him out, that Saturday afternoon game, laid him out. I mean, this guy may be 5'10". They may question how much he weighs, 185, 190, but he plays bigger than that.
Oh, yeah. You know, he plays boundary corner for Virginia Tech, or he played boundary corner. And the boundary corner is Virginia Tech's most physical corner spot. It's big in run support. You're going to put your most physical corner there, guys like Jimmy Williams. Now, Jimmy Williams is a lot bigger than Brandon Flowers, but when you look at Brandon Flowers, I mean, you're right. He plays much bigger than he actually is. Yeah, I think he's going to be a steal for somebody if he falls into the second round, you know, which it looks like he probably will if you listen to you know, most scouts and things like that and mock drafts. He's going to be a steal, I think, in the second round for whoever gets him.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com here on a Champs Wednesday. You know, as much as Brandon may get a real strong look in that first, even the second round, it should be gone by the first 10 picks in the second round. I'm surprised to actually be looking upon things and seeing that one of the better players in this defense, Vince Hall, is being listed behind other ACC linebackers like Philip Wheeler and Tavarius Gooden, and I'm wondering why.
It's a speed thing. You know, he's probably going to go to the combine and run a 4.75, 4.8, something like that, I'm expecting. He doesn't test particularly well in Virginia Tech's track down here, and it's well known for being a very fast track. And, you know, even in the strength standpoint, you know, his lifts, bench, squat, everything like that are just only average for a linebacker on Virginia Tech's team. So he's not going to blow anybody away in that combine. You know, he's going to be one of those second-day linebackers, you know, like a Zach Thomas in the past, guys that, you know, they think are a little small, maybe a little slow, maybe not quite strong enough, but you know, he's just a great instinctive football player, just like Brandon Flowers is as a cornerback. I think he'll make it in the NFL. You know, whether he becomes an All-Pro or something like that, you know, that's another question. But when you look at pure football skills, you know, Vince Hall is second to none for the most part. You know, I mean, just look at his production over his 4 years at Virginia Tech, starter since the second game of his career. I mean, he's never looked back.
Now look at the names that are going to be there, and we talk next week. If we were to talk on Monday morning rolls around, and we talk on Monday, who's the guy that you say should be the Hokie that tests well this weekend?
I think you got to look at a couple guys. You got to look at Xavier DB. He's going to go in there and blow him away with his athletic ability. He's the best coverage linebacker Virginia Tech's ever had, and NFL scouts are going to love his speed. I think they're going to love his strength more than they think they will. They're going to question his weight and mass somewhat, and that's going to hold him back probably to the second round. But I think if he goes in there and blows him away enough with his lifts and jumps and times and things like that, you know, he could help himself out a lot. Dwayne Brown's another guy, fits that mold. You know, he's a really athletic offensive tackle because he used to play tight end, and I think he's going to impress some people up there.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us here on a Champs Wednesday, the Len Martez Show on ESPN 1430. Let's talk a little hoops before we let you get out of here, Chris. Saturday, rough day Saturday, 39-point loss to North Carolina. I'm of one of two schools, and I want to ask you before I tell you which school I am of. One of two schools. One school is the fact that this loss could be a loss where the team says, you know what, 40 minutes, it's out of our system. We played like crap. It's the worst game we played all year long. It's out. We're done with it. Forget about it. Let's move on. Or it could be this type of loss, even against a talented team like North Carolina, this type of loss could have a lasting effect on the Hokies' remaining season.
You know, I think they've done a good job this entire season of rebounding from adversity. You know, they've trailed in a lot of games and been able to come back. They've had losing streaks. They've been able to rally. You know, I think they're a pretty mentally tough team, and I think they have the ability to come back from this. And I'm not sure, you know, if they go on a losing streak here, I'm not sure it's going to be because they didn't react well to this particular loss. You know, I think with freshmen, you know, there's a certain wall there. And when enough film gets out on them, you know, at the beginning of the ACC season, you're not exactly sure how to defend Jeff Allen because you've never seen him before. There's not a lot of tape out on him. But when you get to this point in the season, you know Virginia Tech's strengths, weaknesses. You know you've got to box out Adey Visayo and Deron Washington because they're very good rebounders. You know how Jeff Allen likes to establish position on the inside. You know every little trick that that Seth has run this year to try to generate some points out of the half-court offense. So, you know, that's going to be very tough, I think, for Virginia Tech down the stretch. I think, you know, the book's pretty much out on them at this point, and they're a lot easier to scout.
My school of thought is the fact that this team is so young that Saturday won't affect them. So that's my side of things. Now, as far as them losing basketball games from this point forward, they'll lose those games, but you won't see as bad as effort as you'll see on Saturday. We got to get out of here, Chris. Thanks for your time, as always, brother. We'll talk next Wednesday about those plays at the Combine and a lot more, brother. Thanks
for
your
time. Sounds good. We'll see you then.
All right, man. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining us. One more segment to go on a Champs Wednesday, and we get back, we're going to give you a chance to win lunch on us on ESPN 1430.